right, we'll get started. Welcome to Austin. We have a crew here that is working on Canvas accessibility for HTML5. I'd like to introduce the people from my left over and what they do. Charles?
Oh, I'm Charles Pritchard. I've been working with HTML Canvas for about 5 years now. A lot of that full-time work developing web applications. I'm essentially self-employed. I do startup work. And so I can bring a perspective of how it actually happens when you design with Canvas and make big web apps. And I've been working with the people on the side of me to try and bring more accessibility into Canvas as I follow WCAG and other guidelines.
I'm Cynthia Shelley. I'm from Microsoft. I've been working on web accessibility for about 12 years now. And my current focus is on developer experience for creating accessible applications.
I'm David Bolter. I'm an accessibility guy at Mozilla. There's a bunch of us there. And I've been working in accessibility since 1996. I was 3 years old at the time. Not really. That's about it. I'm going to demo something for you later.
I'm Rich Schwertfeger. I'm the CTO for accessibility for IBM Software. I've been working in accessibility since 1990. I chair the ARIA standards efforts, and I'm also involved with this Canvas accessibility team working to address these issues, the exciting accessibility work on Canvas. What I'd like to do is I really like to start and give some people a little bit of education of how accessibility works in a web browser, because I think what it does is it provides context for you. This example here is on the Open Ajax Alliance site. It's a basic checkbox that was written in HTML with ARIA applied. And what you can see here on the right-hand side is we basically put a roll of checkbox on this particular item. And what the browser does for you is it takes this declarative markup and it maps it to the platform accessibility APIs. And this here is the Firefox browser, and you can see the Microsoft Active Accessibility iAccessible 2 implementation. And you can see the roll of checkbox on there and it states. One of the things that's nice about the browser today is, you know, we have a lot of the information we need right from the HTML content, the location of things on the screen, what the objects are, and that can be mapped to the accessibility API. The problem we have is when you come to Canvas, you know, there's a lot of stray cats on the internet, and they didn't really look at the accessibility issues around Canvas. This is Jack, the troublemaker. The thing is, this went into HTML5, and we really didn't address accessibility too much later. What is the problem with Canvas? Well, on its own, it's just a bitmap. So, you don't know what the objects are on the canvas, all right? You don't know the states they're in. We don't know how they relate to other objects. And because they're on the screen, we don't know their locations, which is really important for things like magnification. If you were to do rich text editing, a controversial area, you know, you can't actually track it. It's just a picture. So how do you solve this problem? How do you make this thing accessible? Well, in actual fact, this is not a new problem. You know, Canvas accessibility is very close to Windows back in 1990. Basically, the Windows desktop is a bitmap, right? And so how you made Windows accessible, we used to do screen scraping to do this for like screen readers, but what you ended up doing later on is you actually took the object model that you had for Windows and you bound that to the graphics engine to get location information, and you actually exposed the accessibility information about objects on the Windows desktop. So this is nothing new. But the question is, how do we do this for Canvas? So what we decided to do when we look at Canvas accessibility is we said, look, let's see what's in HTML5 already. Well, one of the things that we have in HTML5 is we have this notion of fallback content. And it used to be that they would set up Canvas, and the area between the Canvas tags was reserved for browsers on mobile devices that wouldn't be supporting Canvas. And so what would happen is this content would get rendered in its place when Canvas wasn't supported. But in actual fact, that's not really what's happening on mobile devices today. Most of the browsers on mobile devices support Canvas today. And so what we decided to do is, why don't we take a look at the fallback content and use that to represent the objects that are on the screen. So we can use these to represent the UI elements in Canvas. We can use native HTML and ARIA markup to map information about what the objects are, their states, the semantic information, to the platform accessibility APIs. In other words, we didn't have to do anything new here. So the browser takes this information, it populates the accessibility API, and the next thing we had to do is we had to deal with keyboard navigation. All right. So keyboard navigation, we said, all right, well, let's put this in fallback content, and then let's take all those HTML elements and put them in the keyboard navigation order. So now you have keyboard navigation, you have accessibility semantics, but what you don't have is there's still this separation between the content and what's actually being drawn. This you don't get with HTML, but you do get it with Canvas. And so what we need to do is we need to expand the Canvas 2D APIs to actually provide information for magnifiers so that they can follow where things are on Canvas. And there's some other things we needed to do for if you wanted to support rich text editing, a controversial area, et cetera. So let's just take a quick look to see how this actually works. So this is an example, and David Bolter is going to be actually showing you how some of this works in a little bit for Mozilla. And what we have here is we have two checkboxes, and we just basically take two HTML5 checkboxes in fallback content and put that. And what will happen is the browser will take that information and populate information that an assistive technology would need on every operating system platform. And so you have things, the role is a checkbox, its state is unchecked, you get the name of the object, there's the show A's and the show B's, and you have an action where you can actually click on it. So these are the things that the browsers will do for you for free just by putting some basic markup in there. And I want to show you quickly, this is an example of Internet Explorer 9 where they did just that. They took the fallback content. You can see UI automation on the right-hand side showing that this is, in fact, a checkbox, and the assistive technology can hook right into the Internet Explorer and actually get that information to the assistive technologies. All right, but the next thing we need to do is we have to fill out some of the key gaps, and those are the things that we're working on right now, new standards work, okay? So these are the types of things that we're in the process of actually either deciding on what the APIs will be or if they've just been decided on, getting them implemented. And the first two things is drawing a system focus ring and a draw custom focus ring. So the purpose for the system focus ring is that on every operating system platform, there's a convention for drawing focus rings. On Windows, it's probably a dotted box in the form of a rectangle. And so what this does is if the author wishes to draw a system focus ring, the browser will be responsible for taking the path to computing a bounding rectangle or actually following the path around the object and mapping and actually drawing that. Both functions, then you have a custom focus ring, but both functions will also drive location information into the accessibility API so that when those objects in fallback content receive focus, they'll have the positioning information and the magnifier can just zoom right to it. There's another thing that's been being proposed, and it's a very controversial area. Many of the browser manufacturers are not supportive of rich text editing in Canvas. But LibreOffice just recently implemented their entire Office suite in HTML5 with full internationalization support. Mozilla is actually working on a PDF reader. And there's a need to actually expose information about rich text to the accessibility APIs. And so what we've done is we've actually brought up the issue of actually carrot and selection tracking that was the decision was vacated early in the year because the browser manufacturers were really not supportive of actually doing that. We'll see where that goes. But what they would do is if you were typing text or you were selecting text, it would actually allow a magnifier to follow the location with the magnifier. The other thing is text metrics for a text baseline. What we did is we provide the baseline under the text so that the author can actually compute a focus ring to actually draw around text on their objects. That's been proposed and it's being reviewed. The other thing is we have two proposals on hit testing. And the reason we have hit testing, now it was put in to actually help magnifiers, but it actually has mainstream benefits. In the early days of actually doing screen reading, what they used to do is they used to take, on a Windows system, you have this notion of a device context and a window handle, and the device context provided the bounding rectangle for that object, and that would be exposed to the accessibility API. So what you do is this object would also be used for hit testing. So the idea here is, and right now anybody who's done any Canvas application development knows that they have to do all the hit testing themselves. So what we've done is we've introduced two proposals, SetML element path and add hit region, that would actually allow you to provide the hit testing location, bind that to elements and fallback content, and actually have the ability for the browser to do the hit testing for you. So hit testing, for people who are not familiar with this, if you wave your mouse over an object, that's how you get the events. It knows that it resides in that location on your screen. And so what this allows a magnifier to do is actually say, okay, I want to take any arbitrary element on my canvas and actually zoom to it. And so that's where that proposal is now. There was a proposal called Scroll Path into View. It was really insufficient for magnifiers because what it was actually scrolling into view was not something that was bound to an element in fallback content where the assistive technologies would get all the semantics. So some of the things like a magnifier will do is based on the object, it will want to know, the user can actually configure the screen magnifier to actually show a different type of cursor so that it doesn't interfere with text at large magnification levels, things like that. So that's why those things are important. But enough about that. That gives you an idea of how we support looking to support accessibility in Canvas and the work that's in process. What I'd like to do is actually show you some real code and some examples. And I'd like to lead with David Bolter from Mozilla.
Okay, so hi everyone. Apologies for the resolution. Got a MacBook Air here running Windows in a VM. What I'd like to show you very quickly is Firefox Nightly, which is slated to be Firefox 13 in about 13 weeks, I think, if my math is right. We landed some Canvas accessibility support, I don't know, about 10 days ago, so you're seeing the pretty leading edge in terms of what we've done. I'm going to show you the checkbox example. So first of all, and I think Cynthia might speak to this as well later, I'm going to be showing you basically checkboxes that have been done via Canvas. And, this might not be something you want to do, but this is sort of just the bare bones vanilla example to show you how you could make this accessible. So Charles actually helped put this demo together. You see two checkboxes rendered in Canvas. And actually, if we just take 10 seconds of silence, you'll hear what it's like when it's not accessible. So, we've had a couple of years of that, I think. So let's see what it sounds like when it is. All right, so I'm going to launch NVDA, which is a free Windows screen reader.
Canvas uses and techniques for WCAG Nightly. This is a simple application with show SXSW.
To list tab.
Show a checkbox not checked. Show the checkbox checked.
I'm going to hit spacebar to change it.
Space not checked.
Go back to the first one.
Show a check space checked.
So that, that sounds a lot better than silence. So that's sort of the crux of the progress we've made, going from zero to something. And I'll just quickly
Canvas,
show you
nightly,
what
nightly,
this looks
button,
like.
Canvas uses and technique. Web web console.
Using our old DOM inspector because we have some accessibility support in here for showing trees.
Doc roll doc expands application.
Again, sorry about the resolution.
Tech labeled app.
So here we have text, the actual canvas tag. It's being exposed as an application
WCAGDOM inspector.
Let's stop
NVDA. Note this safe NVDA. NVD exit.
I don't want to compete with a nicer voice.
Yes,
okay. So the canvas tag has actually been marked with ARIA to say this is an application. And we've got some children of it. So here we've got a label, which is a nice way of doing checkboxes. Here we have the actual checkbox input. Over on the right here, you can see some properties of the accessible object. So what I'm showing you here really quickly is that this thing has a roll of check button. I don't know if you can actually see that. It's got a name. It's got states. It's checked, and so on. So we're exposing all this semantic information from something that didn't have semantics before. And we're doing that because inside that canvas, we've got this fallback content, and it's rather simple. It's just HTML. And that's it.
Okay.
Keep that there.
I'm going to stay here. Okay, so I'm going to show you IE10 running in Windows 8. One of the things I want to highlight is that I have a very vanilla configuration here. This is Windows 8 Consumer Preview and Visual Studio 11 Beta running on a slate, and then I'm, because the video is too advanced for this room, running it in a virtual machine or running it in a remote desktop connection on Windows 7, also a vanilla install of Windows 7. When I do magnification, it's going to look jaggy. That's the remote desktop connection, not magnifier. And if anybody wants to play with Windows 8, you can come up later and play with the slate. It's shiny. So the first thing I'm going to show is Visual Studio 11. I've used this to create a canvas with an input inside of it, which is similar to what David was just showing. This one's a button. And let me just run it. Are you not up?
Oh, sorry.
I thought I switched it. Is it not showing?
Is it too small? Oh, it's nothing.
Uh-oh.
Check your connection.
Yeah.
Share your home screen.
It's supposed to be. Is that one?
Yes.
We're looking at a video player at the moment.
You should see fish.
Yeah, so that's like a desktop background.
Uh-oh.
Are you plugged in the power, Jamie?
I'm not sure if you can make your desktop correctly.
Okay.
Some background right now.
Weird. Oh, it's not showing the remote connection. Okay.
You want me to fill in a little bit?
Four. That's four. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you go next?
Yeah, well, I'll at least do a little bit of talking while she tries to get that working. She's going to need the screen.
All right.
Well, I've been working with Canvas again for 5 years, and you know, if you do dive into Canvas, and this is something that they'd like to share with you, you're going to go from something where you can use HTML and a few lines of code and have a button that works and looks okay. It changes across web browsers, but it looks okay. You're going to go from that to writing 600 lines of code just to get a simple button. And that is something you have to be aware of, because what you're doing is you're now working on a very low level. You're working with a low-level API. If you've decided for some reason you don't like scripting anymore and you want to write an assembly, it's similar to that. But this low-level API works in even more places than, say, SVG does. And it works because it's a very simple API. How are you doing? So this is something you really have to be aware of when you dive into this kind of development. But what you get from that is an incredible amount of flexibility. And what I'm trying to do with the browser vendors is make it so that when you do decide to do that work, when you decide I'm going to write 600 lines of code, or I'm going to do something silly and spend all my money writing 60,000 lines of JavaScript, you know, when you do that, you want to know that you can make it native, so to speak. And accessibility APIs, when they're applied to Canvas, give you what's essentially a native operating system widget. and you are now on peer with normal applications that run on the operating system. Not only that, you've now got a system that'll run on all sorts of platforms, really basic, and can be ported because it's such a simple language. You have to plug in ARIA, you have to plug in and do a lot of work, but that's kind of the goal behind this accessibility work for me. How are you doing on your demo? Are you ready there?
I think so.
All right.
Let's try that again.
What are you, number?
One.
I'll be there.
Can you see it? Okay. Okay, so this is Visual Studio 11, and this is the Express Web Developer Edition, which has some really nifty things like IntelliSense for ARIA and complete support for HTML5.
Nice.
Yeah. So what I'm going to show you is already running. Sorry. I'm having a bad day. Okay. There it is. Okay. Let me start up Narrator. Narrator is a screen reader.
Narrator window.
Built into Windows 8.
Focus on press any key on the keyboard to hear the name of that key. Press Windows plus Home plus F1 to review the full set of Narrator. The world's simplest video player. Windows Internet Explorer window. Focus on address and search using Bing. Editable text. T.
Okay.
Compatibility view button. The world's simplest video player.
Here.
Home button. http://. Plain button. Press to pause or play button. Compatibility view. Websites designed. Space.
So you notice I paused by hitting the space bar. So if we go back to the code.
Empty line. Type words to search for. Escape.
So if we go back to the code, you'll see that there's a button inside of Canvas. Those are hooked together via script, and when the Canvas element gets focus, it sends that focus to the button, and the spacebar events were going to the button, so pressing the button, which toggles the play and pause of the video that's rendered on a Canvas. What I like about this example
slash
is
body, divided, tooltip, escape.
What I like about this example is that it's a very simple video player, and yet it's accessible. So usually a video player that doesn't have any buttons on it wouldn't be accessible. But this one is, because you can put focus on the whole video and toggle the play of the video with just the keyboard. Okay. So the next one.
Ratingheart.html escape.
Is a fancy checkbox. So David showed you a very simple checkbox. But sometimes you want something that looks prettier. So this checkbox is a heart rating. It's got a full heart for something you like, and a broken heart for something you dislike, and an empty heart for something that you haven't decided about. And it's implemented
Output.
As a three-state checkbox.
Text editor, canvas heart rating, Windows inter, HT tab, compatible tab, home button, tab, shift, HT tab, your rating. Check to like. Uncheck to dislike. Indeterminate checkbox. Window opened. Canvas
so
heart rating.
I
space.
Pressed space to check.
Checked.
And it read checked.
Unchecked. Unchecked.
And it would normally read indeterminate. So,
words to search for.
Again, what's nice about that
website 3,
is that you've got
Microsoft
a very...
Microsoft Visual Studio 11 Express Beta Escape.
You've got a piece of UI that people are very fond of having on their sites, and we've been able to make it accessible by hooking underlying HTML, in this case a div with some ARIA on it, to a canvas that's rendering the pretty checkbox. Okay, and then the last one is a
fan.
Control...
Fan.html tab escape.
That would be hard to do without Canvas. So this is a fan. It's a dial. It spins. And it's got, again, ARIA checkboxes, or ARIA radio buttons underneath to read the different states. So if we run that one.
Output. Text editor. Canvas and ARIA fan speed control. http://escape.
So I can change the state here by clicking on it.
Fan.
fan speed,
but I can also
home button, fan speed, medium, selected 3 of 4 radio button, debug target, menu, fan speed, low, selected 2 of, fan speed, off, selected 1 of 4 radio button, up, fan speed, low, selected 2, escape.
So that was actually a reasonably usable experience.
Type words to search for,
and
tooltip.
We had both
align middles,
a
website 3,
okay, narrator,
Microsoft Vision, escape.
We had a pretty fancy control that's not a typical HTML control, and yet it was able to report information as though it were an HTML control, so that someone who can't click on it or drag the thing around can get the information they need and know the state of the fan. So the other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit is choosing which technology to use. So I've just shown the fan example, which was a case where using Canvas got you quite a bit, a very different UI, and the heart rating, which you could probably do with CSS and graphics, and a video player that also was able to do a very simple UI and still be accessible. But when you're deciding how to build your application, you really need to think about what kind of controls you want to use, especially if you're trying to make it accessible, because the more complex you get, the harder it is to make it accessible. As you can see, you can do it with Canvas, but there's some code here. When you do it with an HTML control, it's just built in. It's automatic. If I use an input type checkbox, all of that works, and you don't have to do any work. If you do divs and aria, then you have to do some work to keep the aria states in sync and to manage clicks and all of that. And if you layer Canvas on top of that, you're doing all your own drawing, but you also have to maintain another level of connection, which, if you need the power, is a wonderful thing. And if you don't need the power, is a source of unnecessary bugs. So be really careful when you're designing and when you're thinking about how to build your application about which technology is the best for the kind of application you're building. And with that.
Dunk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
quite nice.
Do you need power?
Sorry. Can you use that? I don't. Well, if you would. Sorry. This is a large web application that has been boiled down on the interface side as I followed WCAG. By the end of 2010, I'd presented a little bit at Google I.O. We'd worked hard. We'd put in thousands upon thousands of lines of code on this web application, trying to make something that runs in the browser that, you know, basically acts as though a native one would, you know, as though a native application would. And at some point, we just got tangled up in spaghetti code, because when you're working in Canvas and you're working in low-level code and you don't have quality or other such things, it happens. And then I found WCAG, you know, this Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, and it had all the answers I'd meant to tell, you know, my partner in this. When I say, don't do it this way, he'd say, why? And I'd say, well, because it's difficult for me. You know, now I have an authority I can say, because it says right here in this section of WCAG. And using that, I was able to at least get myself out of the mess we got into to some extent. And believe me, if you're working on Canvas in any amount beyond a basic button, you're probably going to get into a mess. And so I had every contractor we worked with, I made sure that they looked and saw what ARIA was. Because normally when you're writing in JavaScript, all of your state is in your JavaScript code and it's hidden away, and maybe it's got your own fancy names, or maybe you are using, you know, jQuery, but it's all packed away. But once you see with ARIA that you can put it into the DOM and you can expose it, then you start getting real usable, maintainable code that also works for accessibility testing. And if we have it, and we don't because the machine has crashed, I could show you that this indeed does self-voice. What I've done here is, once you have all of your regions set up in Canvas, you know, once you have your data in the DOM, you can work with something like Google Translate. You can have Google Translate go to your page, pick it up with the DOM, change all of the text, you pick that up with Canvas, and it can be read. It can be self-voiced. Someone can go in a cafe and access it. Someone can otherwise
maintain it because it's in the HTML. And that's a little bit about how we found that web application development with Canvas needs accessibility in order to just stay sane. So what I did for everyone here is I've gone ahead and written a WCAG supplemental. And how many of you have ever accessed WCAG? That's the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines. So it looks about a fifth of you have. Web Content Accessibility Guidelines are the document that says that, you know, essentially your PowerPoint slides should be brief and easy to understand. They have that in the accessibility guidelines. It works for just about every piece of presentational digital content. So I really recommend you doing that if you're a programmer or a designer or otherwise, because that's where you really need to start, and that's where things get built from. So I went ahead and I wrote some extensions to WCAG. I wrote a Canvas-based WCAG. How do you make something accessible, you know, in a sense, a good practice with Canvas? So we have a draft. This maps over to WCAG. WCAG has a whole checklist of make sure you do this. Is it good enough? You know, do you have text alternatives? Can people access your page? So I've gone ahead and I've responded to those, and this is under an open license, so anyone can copy it, use it internally, whatever else. I've responded to those and I've said, here's how you do it. And this code is accessible as well. You can hit view source, you can access it through screen reader to an extent. And I just have a list of essentially all of the responses to WCAG on there. And you can get to this through Jumis.com, but again, as soon as someone picks it up and copies it, you're free to do anything you like with it. On top of that, there's something called WCAG Text. And if you haven't seen WCAG, you're going to love WCAG Text, because what that does is says, here's how we actually got things to work. You know, someone can say that, well, it should be accessible. And then you say, well, how? How am I going to make it accessible? Well, WCAG Text is a list, a huge numbered list of here's how we were able to do it. It's entirely pragmatic. It's not about conformance. It's just about saying, this worked. So I've essentially put together a WCAG Text for Canvas to say, here are the ways that Canvas can work. And I've also said, here are the ways that Canvas is used, so you can kind of see what you're doing. If you're doing a demo, that's probably a different use case than an actual application. But as we go down and we look at it, you know, I have embedded content. You know, we have the thing that there are so many methods and ways to get what you want. So that's the WCAG, that's the Canvas Text. And finally, to show you actual code, and again, the pain that that you have to endure. But you know, once you write it, once you have it, you know, we have a button example here. So I've got a simple HTML button. That's great. I've gone ahead and I've copied the style of that button in some sense to the canvas here. So my first icon is an HTML button. My second one is a canvas button. And then I add on 600 lines of code to make the thing essentially feature complete. And that's what this little thing will show you here. One thing I want to point out is here we are at a presentation. You know, I could use Google Translate on this if I want, because my content is in the DOM. And I pull it out of the DOM when I load. But another thing I can do is I can zoom in. And my text is still crisp. Now, what'll happen when you use Canvas and you try to zoom in, you're going to find all of your bitmap getting pixelated. It's not going to look good at all. So you have to, unfortunately, add in a good 60 lines of code. It's standard, but hacks and code just to get Zoom working. Now I'm, you know, working with vendors to try and get these issues fixed, but those are the kind of difficulties you're going to find. But when you fix them, you know, now Zoom works. Now you can actually recover if, let's say, your pixel resolution isn't good enough when you're demonstrating. You know, now you can use it from your television. I often develop when I'm downstairs 8 feet away from my monitor, and making it so that I can do that just for myself works in a development environment. A lot of the accessibility I do, I found, has helped me during development. So, and I don't know if that's large enough for people or not, but I can, again, zoom the text if we like. Let's just do it a little bit. So another thing I've done is I've just hooked into Content Editable. Now, pdf.js does HTML overlays, and that's what we have to do for compliance or conformance with browsers that don't support any Canvas accessibility, as we have to hack it on there by using transparency. You know, we set the text to a transparent color. But I've gone ahead and I've hooked into a content editable. And if I overlay the two fields, it'll look like I'm actively live editing a Canvas box, you know, which is nice and helpful. But that's how they're synchronized. So there's 9 features in this thing, making it about 600 lines. We have a Canvas button, and we have an overlay button because we're trying for maximum compatibility. You don't need to try for that every time, and at some point browsers will support, you know, focus internally like they now do with these two browsers. WebKit still doesn't support focus internally. WebKit still barely supports the video tags buttons. But, you know, we've gone ahead, we've set up a canvas, we've set up an inner button. We go ahead and we set up tab indexes. Now, you know to set up tab indexes because you've read WCAG. We go ahead and we test whether those tab indexes actually work, because in 95% of the browsers out there, they don't. 90% as they currently are. And then we have to use polyfill methods and fill in all sorts of compatibility. We set up our basic keyboard events. When you're using a button, you can just use onClick, and it'll work with mouse and keyboard, and it's great. Unfortunately, we don't have methods to forward that exactly. If we did, you know, we wouldn't have to have all these tests. So I keep going through that. I keep adding in every single missing component, because once you jump over to Canvas, you unfortunately have to rewrite things from scratch. So I have this wonderful thing to get pixel resolution, since Microsoft's the only browser currently exposing it. You know, I have ways to lift content straight out of the DOM if I want to get style information and so on. This code, again, is available to all of you. It's completely free. The code is live, so the code you're looking at is straight from the page. There's no serialization or anything. The comments are actually in the page as well. So whether you're cited or non-cited, you can still read the comments in the code blocks. And this is essentially a workstation, and that's what we do. Every time we start a new component, we have to create and work in a workstation to get the component up and live and working. And I want you to think about, you know, that's not very fun, but that's the hard work we do sometimes when we decide to jump into Canvas. But the exciting part, and the reason I jumped into Canvas, is because now I really am creating user interface widgets, and I can do kind of whatever I want, you know, to an extent. To me, I think of it more like game development. But I don't think of game development as something that can't be accessible. You know, if you provide alternatives, it doesn't have to be the same thing, but if you provide alternatives, you know, then you're meeting your bar. You're doing what you need to do. And that, you know, that's really important. So I want you to all to kind of think about Cynthia's demonstration of a fan. You know, she did a very simple fan controller. Well, guess what? You know, in 2 years or so, fans on the market may actually be running, you know, a screen. They may be running a touch screen. They may have voicing. And how are they going to be programmed? You know, in a few years, they're going to be programmed using these web browsers, miniature little web browsers. They're going to be programmed using Aria. You know, your microwave is going to be programmed in a very similar way to how you program it on the web. Everyone has moved forward with web technologies. Everyone has moved forward with Aria, and everyone has picked up Canvas. So, you know, this is what's going to be happening. This is what you're going to use. And just on the web today, there are more complex UIs out there. You know, we've implemented huge parts of HTML inside of Canvas completely. SVG's been implemented. But there are APIs like this one. And this is a full, essentially, synthesizer box with all sorts of audio controls and switches. And, you know, if you put it together and you tie in and you follow WCAG and you make sure the mouse and the keyboard works, and then you go in and you make sure all of your content is there and it's accessible, you know, something like this can work immediately on an actual touch screen. And these kind of user interfaces are the kind of interfaces you're going to be working with when you're doing web applications. You're really jumping into something that's fundamentally very, very separate from just a hypertext document. You know, and when you do that, again, and I can't say this enough times, but I'll keep doing it, you need to read WCAG. You need to read the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, and you need to do your best to follow them up to level A or level AA. So that's my understanding again of web applications. And David and a few of us here would really like to see if we could get some thoughts, ideas, or questions from the audience here, because we don't know where you're at. I've been sitting in a computer programming with VI for years, every day, and so I'm, stuffed in there. We have different experiences and a variety of knowledge here. So if anyone has any questions or comments or anything, we'd really like to kind of get a discussion started. And we have differing opinions, as you've noticed as well. So, we have a microphone here. We'd love to take that on. And does anyone have a place that they'd like to start?
And while people are lining up, I have one more demo to show, if you could switch me to one.
Oh, fantastic.
This one doesn't need sound. So this is the magnifier, which is available in both Windows 8 and Windows 7. This particular demo only works with IE10. It won't work with IE9. And what I'm doing here is tabbing through, and the magnifier is following the tab, and it actually came to the canvas, and the canvas is focused, and I'm manipulating it with my keyboard.
Voice is off.
Sorry.
That's okay. So we've hooked up in IE10 the bounding rectangle for the canvas itself, so that when you tab into anything inside the canvas gets focus and the magnifier moves to it. And this should work for any magnifier that supports bounding rectangles. Right now, that's only for the whole canvas. So one of the things that we're really recommending is that you develop single controls in Canvas. And something like this fan control you can put on your HTML page, and you can put two or three of these and the video player and some checkboxes, even with hearts, on your HTML page, and each one of those would get focus in an appropriate way. And you can make a pretty fancy application that way using single controls. And now questions.
Or who here is programming in Canvas actively? That's actually quite common. But let me tell you, that's two people out of, 50 or 100, and that's twice as many as a year ago. This is still cutting edge, even though it's been available for a good 5 years. But that's how, it works with web technologies. We like to think they're incredibly fast, but in terms of pickup, things like that, they inch along.
You have a question?
Hi. So question. excuse me. Do the APIs that you're using to hook up, like the hit testing path to the, interior DOM of the canvas, do those also support removal, like basically dynamic updates of that subtree, the DOM subtree?
I can answer that. So removal of the mappings, is what you're saying, for the path?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was one of my feedbacks to both proposers, is we need to have the ability to remove them and clear them all out. And I haven't seen it get in, but it won't be able to go through without having that necessary feature.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to understand whether that was on
the
table.
You have to do it.
If you have dynamically updating content and stuff moving around, you got to be able to rebuild that mapping.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Hi. The one upside that I always found that Canvas has compared to just use the DOM instead is to actually get like extreme high graphic performance. Obviously, that is also the downside if you try to make it accessible, because you actually have to do it twice. Is there any approach to get an upside again out of it at any point?
Upside again. When you're looking at, Canvas is very low level, and what he's kind of saying is, you can use SVG for certain things, but when you use SVG with, say, 1,000 particles floating around the screen, things get really inefficient and really slow. Now, with Canvas, you're working with this raw bitmap, and when you're doing hit testing with Canvas now, you have to do all the calculations yourself. You might use a second bitmap to do the hit testing. And that's how things are done on embedded systems. This is how it's been done since the dawn of time, apparently. But what happens with accessibility is, hey, you know what? I still want some of those particles in the DOM because I need to access them. So now you're kind of heading back into that realm of SVG where it's like, well, if I have all these objects for every particle, aren't I getting slow again? Now, what you can do with Canvas and what you can do because of Aria is you can do the same thing that they do with Google Maps. I'm sure at least half of you have used Google Maps here. You use Google Maps with a KML file with a lot of data points, thousands of data points. And what happens? Well, only a few show up at a time. Or, you try to filter it more. The same thing is what you're going to want to do in your DOM to an extent. Now, you can put a lot of info in your DOM because browsers are extremely fast, but if you're talking about extreme cases of performance, use ARIA. There's an attribute called set of, or size of set. You can use ARIA to tell the user, hey, you're looking at 10 of 1,000 different objects, and when you hit next, now you're looking at the next 10. Now on the screen, it may be showing a lot. Not every single thing on the screen has to be in the DOM at the same time, but you have to have a route to get to it.
That's a very good tip. Yeah. The other thing is, how good is browser support? Also going backwards, obviously.
How good is the browser?
A lot of this works in IE9.
Have accessible canvas.
A lot of this works in IE9.
Oh, that's good.
So the magnification demo doesn't work in IE9, but the screen reading, if you have a screen reader, again, the built-in screen reader is a Windows 8 feature, but NVDA that he was using would work with this in IE9.
Yeah. Firefox has the fallback content in the 13 trunk, is that right?
Yep.
Just got promoted. Chrome people are looking at it now. I'm working with some of the Google guys. Dominic Mazzoni's looking at it. So it's coming. It's just not super fast. I think one of the things that's a really good point before is one of the things that you can do with your fallback content that you can't really do with SVG is we can actually group things semantically. So I don't care if it took about 30 objects to draw a button. Okay, I only need one, all right, to represent the whole thing. It's kind of like when you do a PowerPoint presentation. You do all these poly lines, but the only thing meaningful is you group them together, and this has something of value. So I actually think it will be, to some degree, more efficient. The other thing, about SVG versus Canvas, most developers grew up on Windows, and they're used to that type of drawing functionality. So I think we're going to see a lot more of it going forward. I think we see, Asteroids and a couple other games are out there that are, you can do on Canvas to work really well.
Games are taking off.
What's that?
Games are taking off in general. There's a session right after this one in this room on HTML5 games.
Excellent.
And one more point on your first question. Your subdom elements don't necessarily have to be moving around.
Yes,
right.
Obviously.
So they're just the hit points, and they don't necessarily have to be moving around at the same rate as the visible things.
Cool, thank you.
I'd say from an API's perspective, though, browser support is very slim, and it's because we need people to speak up and say that this is actually important. Hit testing hasn't been added to the browsers. You still have to do it manually. So there is very simple solutions for these things, but browser vendors really need to hear that people are actually developing in Canvas and need them.
We really want feedback from all of you about how this could be easier. There are a bunch of proposals in front of the HTML5 working group, and feedback from the developer community on those would be extremely valuable. Andrew?
Hi. So my question relates to the last one, talking about browser support, but also talking about WCAG support. How... right now, with IE9 or other browsers, can you reach full AA compliance using Canvas? Or are there still some barriers that have to be overcome?
It depends. Like the things that I was demoing are probably AA.
You're going to need to use the overlay method instead of the subdom for practical compliance. I'm, again, trying a Canvas WCAG. And at some point, I'll say, using the subdom, you can be AA. But in terms of practical use, unless you're doing one element per one component mapping, which most Canvas developers don't do, you have to use the overlay method with CSS absolute positioning of elements, making them transparent. It's a good amount of work, and it's not fun.
But using Canvas to lay pretty pixels on top of a single control works pretty well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Another question about hit testing. So from an accessibility standpoint, is it important that, like, if you had the heart-shaped, checkbox, that you actually had correct hit testing against the heart as opposed to, a rectangular region surrounding the heart?
So the platform APIs all use rectangles. For clicking, it matters, but for keyboard support and AT support, a bounding rectangle works just fine.
I think to get adoption, though, I think it's got to be very sophisticated. So we want hit testing that would work and make people want to use this infrastructure.
Yeah.
Even if they're not thinking about accessibility, we would want it to work for anything, and then we would just get the accessibility side effect for free.
Yeah. What we would do in the case of, let's say you drew the heart shape, what we would do is we would get a best fit rectangle and map that to the accessibility API. So it's really, you know, in your application, if you wanted to hit testing just in within the bounds of that heart, and then you could go do that. Use point and path is probably what's going to happen. And then the accessibility API really needs this for zooming capabilities. I need to know where this object is and zoom in on it.
In your design, though, and in the API proposal we have out there for add event target, you just pass it the element, and it takes what your current path is. Mm-hmm. And that's incredibly important. Let's say, you know, you're actually printing out, say, something on kind of a Braille or a raised printer, mm-hmm. or you're working with an interface that really is based on touch or based on edges.
Yep.
You know, you want to pass that information, and the only way to do that is through an API call at the right time. So you do want to be prepared for that. But at present, that's not available. But I'm certainly trying to get that API and hook in there.
Okay. Can I ask a second, like, corollary question? All right. So my main focus is on WebGL as opposed to the 2D canvas rendering context. And in that domain, it's really the primitive that you really have readily available is not like a path of the, you know, projected and rendered vertices of the model, mm-hmm. but more just a hit test.
Yeah.
Like what's under the mouse point? You know, the mouse at this current point. Are these APIs, you know, compatible with that sort of mechanism, or, you know, would we need to do something different? Can we get like a JavaScript callback that says, "Okay, tell me what accessible thing is under the mouse cursor right now," and then, you know, feed it down to the native platforms? Accessible. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I'd use essentially a Canvas 2D API overlaid on your 3D because you're probably going to use them together anyway. For generating your textures. So you use your Canvas 2D API, and instead of actually painting onto it, you set up your paths, and you use the API calls. You don't have to make it visual, you know, to use Canvas when these API hooks are in there. So you can use them together and get the effect that you're looking for. And again, you use the DOM in ARIA, and not only are you getting the effect, but you're describing what's happening. And it's non-visual in some sense. You know, accessibility in the space of Canvas is really about spatial accessibility, and that's not a visual thing. You know, we think of it as that because we're looking and we want to tap at the right place, but it's about spatial boundaries.
Right, but my point is that you don't necessarily always have a path. You may do a hit, you know, a ray cast into the 3D scene at the instantaneous point in time
mm-hmm.
to understand what object is under the cursor, but you can't easily
yeah.
produce a path.
You're talking about picking, like 3D
yeah.
picking? Yeah.
Yeah, and making that accessible.
Yeah, it's hard.
yeah, you have to get a path.
We can
send us some email. Let's see what we can figure out.
Yeah.
All right. I'm working with a client right now. It's a very large insurance company, and they're very afraid of things like this, so this is great. One of the things that they bring up constantly is not just screen readers that we're trying to target, but also people who have cognitive, motor, and other disabilities.
Yeah.
Right.
So can you talk about how we can make this accessible for people using, like, voice dictation software or other things like that?
I think we could all talk about that.
Yeah. So I actually almost did a speech demo, but I couldn't find the right microphone. So Windows Speech would work with this. So this is IE is exposing the UIA interface, which is what Windows Speech uses and what a lot of AT uses. And you're using iAccessible 2, which is what a lot of other AT uses. So anything that's talking to those APIs should be able to make use of this. You saw I did Magnifier. And that's, again, IE10. You can tab to the things and get the bounding rectangle so that for your motor disabilities and your mouse simulation, keyboard use, that's what's going to work for those AT products.
This essentially hinges on the fact that we're using native DOM elements. Like, you have to do that. There's no kind of raw API to say, other than using an input element that you're saying that you have a checkbox with a state of check, right?
Well, so I was using ARIA, which lets you use div
right.
and then put
ARIA
role on it. I did ARIA in some of them and inputs in some of them.
I think there's room for discussion about taking more of the accessibility stack into the web. So perhaps having the accessibility calls come right into content and content providing answers to those calls.
And that's feedback we'd love to hear, but any implementation is vaporware.
So were you looking at dictation too, or just navigation?
Dictation is a big part of their testing, so
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay, so for dictation, you can make that whole area content editable. All right, and something like Nuance Dragon, naturally speaking, can actually insert text in there. You just have to be able to monitor it, right, because you're inserting characters, because you'll get keyboard input, right? And they basically stuff keyboard input into that content editable area. What you wouldn't be able to do at this point is track where the caret is, you know, if you want to drive a magnifier at the same time. That's a whole controversial area. All have different views on this on the board. So if you want to get us going, this is one of those areas. But
So for dictation, what's going to work now is using an HTML div with content editable on it.
Yeah. Sure, so they'd be able to say something for this fan speed demo, like medium, and it would switch to medium.
That would work.
That's right.
Because this is underlying checkboxes, and yeah. So I haven't tried it with Dragon, but with Windows Speech, it works just like checkboxes, radio buttons.
So we have about 5 minutes left. I think we have time for one or two more questions, and then after that, I think we'll all hang out in the hallway if you want to catch us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm more than happy to yield the microphone to anyone else who has a question, but I did want to ask. I followed a little bit the discussion on Public Canvas API about enhanced text rendering APIs, and did want to pose the question: are the main objections to enhancing the text API in Canvas accessibility related, or related to the mountain of work that you have to do to make text input behave like the native platform, or other things? Do you have any comments?
I think one of the reasons is we from Mozilla's perspective, and I can't speak as Mozilla because it's just a whole, everybody's got a different opinion, but we want to encourage a certain usage of web technology that's going to lead us down the right path. And we wouldn't want to encourage people to rewrite word processors in Canvas, for example. It's hard. Content editable is one of the harder areas of a browser to implement. I think some of it is just that there's just this reluctance to encourage that usage.
That's true for us as well, and that we want people to really pick the web technology that fits the problem space, and we want to optimize our efforts on the things that are most likely to work well and be easy to develop with.
Well, IBM's position on it is if authors want to go use this, which we think they will use it for rich text editing, regardless of what we may wish them to do, at the end of the day, if someone, if someone sighted can go use this, or someone without a disability can use it for this application, then someone with a disability ought to be able to use it too. So I want to see the infrastructure in there. And so I'm going to keep pushing on getting the infrastructure in there to make it happen. Do I think it's a lot of work to do rich text editing? Yeah, I do. I think it's there are other things that are a lot easier to do. So, and it also requires more work on our part to make sure we basically dotted the I's and crossed the T's. But if you want to go do it, I want to try to find a way to make that happen. So
cool.
And thanks. Again, we would say just use content editable and figure out a way to make that fit into your UI.
Yeah. So, like, for example, Google doesn't even use content editable for Google Docs, okay, because it's not adequate.
Right. Okay? It doesn't give you the control that you need, right? Like the pixel by pixel control that you need for text positioning and layout, right?
There's a whole list of things like, Google Docs likes to be able to navigate by page. There's no page concept in content editable, things like that.
And I would also encourage you to write to the HTML working group or write to any of us about the things that you feel are missing for being able to do either content editable directly in HTML, what you would need to make it do what you want, or why you feel that you really need to be able to do that in Canvas. I mean, all of the information from all of you about how you want to use this, not just text, but how you want to use Canvas and what you need from Canvas is incredibly valuable. We don't hear enough from the developers.
Okay.
Great. Well, we're just about out of time here. So,
any more controversial topics?
So we'll all hang around. I have a Windows 8 slate if anybody wants to play with it.
Thank you for coming today.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And I'd recommend... Yeah.